Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Players Lounge podcast. On this episode, we have someone who debuted in Test cricket at 17 years old. 17 years and 153 days to be precise, which made him the youngest wicketkeeper to debut in Test cricket. I'm talking about Parthiv Patel. Parthiv Patel will be joining us, but that's not the only impressive thing about him. How about the fact that 8 years after that debut, he earned a recall to the Indian Test side, having missed 83 Test matches in between. And that, my friends, dear listeners, that is a story of hope. Also joining us on the podcast, our favorite former England international, Graham Swan. It's always great to hear from Swanee, and let's hear from Parthiv Patel. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. Please be honest with me, bud. What is your skincare regime? Because I swear you look the same, like when you made your test debut all the way back in 2000.
I don't know. It's just probably the lights and all of that now. But yeah, I've been, some guys are just blessed. I don't know.
No. Tell us a little more. The secret. You can bottle it up. Share it with your friends, buddy.
Oh, I just use a bit of sunscreen. I'm not into that. Oh, I drink a lot of water and stuff. That's something which I don't much anyway.
I'm lucky enough to work with Parthiv at Star Sports. And I can tell you, that beard, I reckon he draws it on. I think he's still 16, 17 years old, because I've never seen anyone look younger in my life. If it wasn't for the deep voice, I think this is still a schoolboy sat next to me. Look at the size of him. He's a sharply dressed cookie as well, Parthiv Patel. It's a sharp cookie. I like him a lot.
Thanks for the kind words, Bunny.
Yeah, speaking of sharp cookie, before we get into this, I'm not so sure if we have the visuals, but what were you and Swanee doing in the studio dressed as the Men in Black with the shades and shooting some promo? What's going on there? That was very sharp, gentlemen.
I'm telling you, it was forced. It was natural for Swanee. There was nowhere near I could look like a man in black. I had to have a stool to, you know, match up to Swanee's height.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, it was a little segment they got us to do, and it was called Out of This World. And I immediately, as soon as I turned up, so day one, they say, we want to run these ideas by you. We've got this idea for you and Parthiv. And I went, well, what is it? And so it's called Out of This World. We want to dress you up in suits. And I went, tell me it's like Men in Black. It is. I was sold immediately. I thought, this is amazing. And so we only got to do two or three of them.
How much convincing did it take for you, Parthiv?
I think it took me about 2 days, because I wasn't sure whether I could pull it off or not. But then, you know, because I was coming into broadcasting full time.
No, but listen, speaking of natural, let's get back to that test debut, because, I mean, it's extraordinary. It's something to remember. 17 years, 153 days. You know, you're the youngest, but it's not like you're debuting your debut at home in the subcontinent on pitches that you're used to. It's in England. You've got some iconic players in that Indian dressing room. So tell me about the call-up that you're being called up to the test squad. And then when you walked into that dressing room or that match practice, who's the first person you spoke to? I mean, what were your impressions?
I think, first of all, when I got selected for 16 to tour England, I think I clearly remember I was coming from Sri Lanka. We just finished India A tour, and I had landed home at 4 in the morning, and I was sleeping. And you know, those days there was no Twitter or there was nothing. You know, we had to wait for that 12 o'clock afternoon news to be breaking, you know, on the Doordarshan, where, you know, they would announce the team. So I didn't know. My sister was watching the news, and she came up and she woke me up, and she's like, you know, you are selected. I was like, I thought I was in a dream, or I remember telling her that, okay, don't let me sleep. I have just come at 5 in the morning. So no, but it's obviously a dream for anyone to represent your country, and you know, to see that fulfilling in front of your eyes. I think it was incredible. And about debut also, it has a story. I wasn't going to play that test match. Ajay Ratra was first keeper. I remember Yasir Arafat. Does anyone remember? Of course, Yasir Arafat from Pakistan.
Yes.
He was our net bowler. He was bowling those reverse wing Yorkers to our batters in the nets. And Ajay Ratra was batting in the nets. And so John Wright told Ajay Ratra that last ball. And Ajay Ratra said, no, I want to face one more. And that Yasir Arafat came in and bowled a toe crusher Yorker to him, and he got injured. So I didn't know. I just had, you know, there was some rumors in the dressing room around that Ajay Ratra might not play, but it wasn't sure. So I think 10 minutes before the toss, they were still taking his fitness test, because I'm sure they were not sure whether I'll be able to play for India at 17 or not. So I was giving throwdowns to Rahul Dravid, and Sourav Ganguly came in before going to toss that you were playing. So it was all in, you know, never expected. It would have been different if I had to sleep through it, but then, you know, it all came in very quickly.
And is it Trent Bridge as well?
It was at Trent Bridge, yeah. Every time I see that Nottingham ground, you know, it takes me back to 2002.
See, I live a mile from the Trent Bridge ground. I can see it from my bedroom window. And one of the things that I remember, because I didn't always live in Nottingham, but I remember Parthiv Patel, because when you grow up playing cricket and everything, you know all the players. And whenever a youngster comes in, you have to ask around, like, who is this lad? What does he do? What does he do? I turned the TV on and Parthiv Patel was wicketkeeping. And I'd never heard of him. I'd never seen him. I was like, who is this kid? I think, is this... I couldn't believe it. But if I'm wrong, did you have blue gloves on?
Yes, I had those blue gloves on, yeah.
Yes, yes. I remember the blue gloves and this baby face and these big eyes. I thought, wow, look at this kid. But in England, we love an underdog. We love a story like that. So the unsuspecting player or the team who aren't fancy, whatever. And so the whole of the country was rooting for this new Indian keeper. We didn't want to see Tendulkar score runs and Dravid score runs. We wanted to see this new kid like taking catches and scoring some runs. It was a brilliant story.
And I mean, you had to do it, right, Parthiv? You had to hold fort and you had to ensure that, you know, that there's no defeat on the card. So you actually had to, in a sense, you know, walk the talk. It's 17 years old in England at Trent Bridge.
Yeah, it was. And I remember getting a duck in first innings, you know, when I got on zero in first inning to Harmison. So actually it was Harmison and Robert Key's debut test match as well. I'm Harmison's first test wicket. So, you know, getting out on zero, coming into a dressing room where I was sitting next to Anil Kumble, and Anil Bhai was like, don't worry, all the great players get zero in their first name, so don't worry about all of that. So, you know, all sort of this, you know, there was definite, you know, say help from the senior players, because when I look at now, the youngster who plays, comes into international scene, they have the exposure of IPL, but then the difference between first class cricket and international cricket was huge. Now, having grown up, I can't say I was grown up at 17, but having seen Sachin Tendulkar or Rahul Dravid or Sourav Ganguly, Anil Kumble being heroes, and you know, 5 months before, in fact, we were touring under 19 and they were giving us lectures on leadership and all of that. And there I was, you know, playing with them. So it was surreal, but you know, I'm glad that I had that opportunity of maybe, you know, playing out one session. All the hard work was done by Sachin Tendulkar, who got 92. I think Rahul Bhai got 100 in second inning. Sourav got 99. But I had to face those 90 difficult balls, and I'm glad that, you know, we could drew the test match, and then we could draw the series because of that test match. But, you know, all of this, when I think now, you feel that, oh, that was huge. But then at 17, you don't worry about all of this. You don't think that, you know, you don't dream that, you know, you will be in your debut test match, people will still be talking about that.
Was there a moment in that test when, you know, because any cricketer is concentrating. So when I was bowling, you're concentrating. When you're batting, you're concentrating. For me, when I was fielding, I'd sometimes just look around and think, there's a full house here. And I'm playing for, I'd look down, so I've got lines. I'm playing for my country. And for me, like, you're looking at like Andrew Flintoff's over there, you think, how is this happening to me? Did you ever have that moment in that first test? Did you ever just think Sachin Tendulkar stood next to me at slip?
Yeah. It did happen in the dressing room. I think there are quite a few times where I used to get freezed in the dressing room, where if I'm looking at Sachin Tendulkar, yeah. I would just get freezed in the dressing room, just looking at him. Or say VVS Lakshman. So Lakshman Bhai was the closest I could get to. And you know, he was very kind, and every time he had that probably habit of observing new players, and you know, he would try and talk to new players and try and make them comfortable.
Yeah.
So he asked me once, you know, why do you get freezed in the dressing room? I said, yeah, but I'm looking at all of these superstars of cricket, and I had that moment. Yeah. But yeah, walking in with the team, I thought I was, you know, my heart rate was beating quite high. And while batting, I was literally, you know, getting into, I don't know whether I will be able to face Matthew Hoggard or Flintoff or Harmison. Mm-hmm. They were quick. And then, and obviously double my height. But so, yeah, it was. but you do get that feeling when you're making your debut, for sure.
Was there a moment, Parthiv, where, just your debut, was there a moment where you, because if I'm not wrong, you hadn't played Ranji Trophy senior team yet, right, before you made your debut? So was there a moment where you felt like, okay, I belong in international cricket?
See, obviously, I did not play Ranji Trophy before I made Test debut, but I had done a couple of India A tours. You know, I did South Africa tour, I did Sri Lanka tour, where, you know, when we went to South Africa, the tour was full of, you know, the young superstars, so-called Mohammad Kaif, Yuvraj Singh, and there were quite a few, you know, players who were already had played for India in one-day format, not so much in Test. But yeah, you know, once you played that Test match, that after that you get that feeling, yes, you do belong here. But before you make your debut, once you have not, you know, been on the park, you always go with the questions: will I be able to, you know, perform here? Will I be able to do well or not? I'm sure even if you're not 17, those questions do arise in your mind when you're making your debut for your country. So it did happen to me as well. But after that first test match, I think everything settled, and probably, you know, could express myself more after the second test matches.
You know, one thing I remember about my test debut is, so mine was in Chennai, and there'd been a lot of build-up. So mine was the exact opposite to yours, Parthiv. You were young, sort of plucked out of obscurity in the international sense, and, you know, not even playing until 10 minutes before the toss. And then, right, youngster, you're in. Mine was like 10 years of county cricket, having been dropped by Duncan Fletcher because he doesn't like people who laugh, and then thinking I'll never play. And then when it came round in the end, I remember thinking on the bus from the hotel in Chennai to the ground, it's about half an hour. And I remember thinking, I hope this ride is a bit longer. I want to take this in, but I don't feel ready to play this game yet. I don't feel like it's sunk in. I wish I'd had what you had, that 10 minutes before, right, you're in. Stop giving throwdowns to that legend, Rahul Dravid. Go get your pads on and have a few hits. I just always remember that amazing feeling, like just sitting on the team coach and the excitement building. You see the fans outside the ground and stuff. And I know at Trent Bridge, you come in from the city over the river and you can see the ground there. That must have been incredible as well.
Yeah, it was. I think England, it's different. You're walking through the normal people as well. You know, in India, you go straight outside the dressing room and you just jump into the dressing room. But in England, you walk through the, you know, spectators who are coming, especially in Lords and Nottingham and all. And that's where, you know, you hear murmurs as well. And especially me being Gujarati, you know, there are Gujaratis everywhere. And especially they do come down to the ground in numbers. And I can hear them, you know, telling me a few things in Gujarati about, you know, making my debut and stuff. So yeah, it was complete, as you said, you know, reliving those moments when I think about it, it was huge. But now, you know, it's all sunk in. Now I'm retired.
But it's amazing, because of course we will always talk about it. It's the one thing that people will remember, is that the fact that you made your debut at 17 years old. But what about the fact that you came back and played test cricket again after 8 years since making that debut? You know, you waited, it was a gap of what, 83 matches before you did that. So what gives you more pride, if I could ask you that?
Definitely making a comeback. I think making a comeback is definitely more, you know, difficult, because you're a wicketkeeper and there's only one wicketkeeper in the side, and if it happens to be a captain of the side, there's only one way you are getting in, is either, you know, he retires, or either he gets injured, or maybe, you know, he takes a break. In our case, that was MS Dhoni before he retired. So we still had to keep on, you know, playing well, and something which I told myself while I was, you know, playing domestic cricket and you know, club cricket back in Ahmedabad and stuff. So there was something which I had told myself, that I will keep my intensity at certain level, no matter which level of game I am playing, whether it is a district, state level, India A, IPL, whatever. And I will keep myself ready for every series which is coming up. So if India is playing to South Africa, even if I'm not nowhere in the scene to be picked, I would prepare myself that I'm going to South Africa or Australia. So, you know, probably, you know, after making comeback after 8 years, I think that made it slightly easier for me, because I wanted to, you know, be prepared for that series. And for people may not know that I was thinking that way. So as soon as I came into that test match, it felt like I was just coming out of a first-class game and playing another one.
That's amazing. This should be a film. Parthiv Patel could be like an inspirational movie there. Just think that, you know, the Australia series coming, you're the best around. Like the montage sequence, doing press-ups and facing bouncers. And then eventually walking back around, and he just pans back and the whole crowd's around him. He is back. Anyway, I've gone off on a wild course there. Sorry.
I agree with you, Swanee, in a sense, because it's 8 years. It's not just 1 or 2 years keeping the faith. That's 8 years. 8 years where you've seen the career of the iconic MS Dhoni, and then Ridhiman Saha comes into the side. And then Parthiv, you led Gujarat to the, you know, a win in the Ranji Trophy. You did it literally all by yourself. You were man of the match in that. So 8 years is a very, very long time to keep the faith going. You make it sound very nonchalant, but it is inspiring. Was there a moment where you said, I don't know if I can do it anymore? Should I be, you know, letting go of these dreams? There are other keepers coming through. I mean, Rishabh Pant is there now. Was there a moment, and how did you get through that moment of doubt, if there was one?
Oh, definitely there was. I mean, I would be lying if I say, you know, I'd never believed, or I never thought that I will never be able to make a comeback. There were definitely moments of those. And I think that's where your family and friends comes into play, where, you know, they make you realize that, you know, there's a goal, there's a lot of cricket left in you. And I definitely had that strong belief in me that, yes, I could make a comeback, I could play for India again. But yeah, there were doubts of, you know, whether I will be able to do it or not. And I think that's something which changed in my attitude was, if I can share a small incident, where we finished a first class season. I was landed in Bombay. I met Saurav Ganguly at the arrival hall. He was also there, and he asked me, how did your season go? I said, yeah, I scored 800 runs in a season. So he's like, yeah, you do that every time, but now if you want to make a comeback, you'll have to, you know, play knocks which can take your team to the podium level, which is T20 national wins, or Vijay Hazare one day, or Ranji Trophy. So that's where I decided, you know, yes, I want to score runs as well, but I want my team to do well as well and win Ranji Trophy. I think to Sony, our team was, Gujarat team was really bad, to be honest. To start with, I think when we were just trying to survive, in fact, just to survive in a little level. So thinking that Gujarat will win Ranji Trophy was a distant dream. I think, you know, you can make a comeback after 12-15 years, but winning Ranji Trophy was a huge dream for us. And fortunately, I had players who had done well in junior cricket, and I had the support of our own home association. That's where they had given me all the liberty. They said, pick your players and do whatever you want to do with them. So there's only one thing which I did with all the youngsters was, I challenged them in practices. I said, if you are playing 100 balls, I'll play 101. If you are taking 50 catches, I'll take 51. And if you're running 5 rounds, I'll run 6. So that's where, you know, if our bunch was not very, very talented, but there was one way we could, you know, make our mark, was by working hard. And, you know, that philosophy which I had, that, you know, if you keep working hard, it anyway, you know, it's a cliche thing that it turns out to be well at some point of time. But in my case, I could say that I lived that cliche, that we worked hard, and in the end of the day, we won Ranji Trophy and I made a comeback as well.
Right, okay. So I said before, tongue-in-cheek, this should be an inspirational movie. Why is this not a movie? The Gujarat team. This is Hollywood. This isn't Bollywood. This is worldwide. Come on. Steven Spielberg, if you're watching, get this done.
So just to, you know, say on this, we are working on the movie which is in Gujarati.
We got it, Swami.
Hey, look, you need a villain as well. You need an Englishman who's always a villain, like the dodgy umpire. Get me in, please get me in. I beg you, Parton.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
But Parthiv, if you go back to your debut years and you're talking about some iconic cricketers, these are your early years. I mean, wicket-keeping in itself is an art, and you're keeping to people like Anil Kumble and Harbhajan Singh. And Swanee, you can get into this as well. You know, what sort of challenges did you face? You had to adapt yourself, let's say. I mean, not just on subcontinental pitches, but overseas as well. And then, of course, those subcontinental pitches where the ball turns.
I think to me, a biggest challenge to keep to Anil Kumble and Harbhajan Singh was not the spin they were getting. I think the bounce and the pace which they were getting, I'm sure Swanee would agree. I think if it's spinning slowly and if it's not bouncing, it's still easier and you can still get behind the ball and collect it. With Anil Kumble and Harbhajan Singh, I think they were bowling very quick and they were quite accurate. And the bounce which they were getting. And because of the height which I had, I couldn't get behind the ball all the time because I had always had to be beside the line, and that's where sometimes, you know, edges where it had to cover more ground. So that was probably the biggest challenge which I faced keeping to Anil Kumble and Harbhajan Singh. And the challenge to keep in England to fast bowlers, I think Zahir Khan's ball, you know, the basically ball wobbles a lot in England. We've seen that, and especially the seam up bowlers like say Ishant or Zahir Khan, or now you can see Mohammad Shami, swing bowlers, they would still swing in one direction, but when the seam up bowlers are there, it would hit the seam and you don't know where it is going, and it would just die down to you at don't know when. So I think keeping in England was probably the biggest challenge to keep to fast bowlers. And spinners, of course, in India.
Well, you mentioned that wobble in England. Trent Bridge, where you made your debut, is the most notorious place for wobble when it goes past the stumps. Lords is bad as well. But Trent Bridge is so bad. In my first year playing for Nottinghamshire, who play at Trent Bridge, I was stood at first dip, and Chris Reed is a wicketkeeper. Now, Chris Reed, another small guy, similar height to you, Parthiv, brilliant, brilliant wicketkeeper. Should have played a lot more for England. And we had a bowler called Paul Franks, who'd played England under 19s, actually had a cap for England as well. He was a seam bowler. He never swung it. He hit the seam, tried to deck it in. And honestly, his wobble was ridiculous. Normally up and down, but sometimes side to side. And one of the first balls he bowled, I remember it going past the stumps, and really just went, whoops! And I stood there watching it, and it hit me on the knee at first slip. It wobbled that far, just whoosh, and I was looking at the keeper and it just banged me straight in the knee. I thought, who would keep in a place like this? So kudos to you in your debut for keeping at Trent Bridge, because that wobble really is, well, it's a keeper killer, we call it, the keeper killer.
I remember a few incidents where I think Robert Key was playing, Zach was bowling, and he was beaten by this much, and I almost, you know, took it with one hand in front of a slip, and I thought it was edged, and I then appealed like anything, like any wicketkeeper would do. So, you know, we saw the replay and it was missed by this much.
And you're also doing it with nine fingers. I mean, that in itself is a bit of a challenge. How did you make the adjustments, especially with the gloves, and what's the story here? I mean, you lost the finger in your childhood, right?
Yeah, it was childhood incident. When I was six, it came in the door when, you know, we did a surgery and had to cut it. So basically, you know, a lot of people, they ask me whether, you know, how did you manage to keep wickets with nine fingers? So my real thing is, I didn't know how it would have been if I had 10 fingers. So I didn't know. I always started with nine. So I don't know whether I missed it or not. But yes, I was making slight bit of adjustment in my wicket keeping gloves because my little finger was not, you know, it couldn't fit into the left hand of the glove. So I had to, you know, tape in the last two fingers to maintain the cup of the glove.
Now, and I know the back inside story of this. So it's a certain family member who was responsible for this finger, wasn't it? And she's always felt guilty about it or taken the credit for it.
Yeah, that's my sister. I was very naughty and I bit her in her nose. So she pushed me in the bathroom and stuff. So yeah, it was, so that was the story behind it.
Hey, Swanee, isn't this the second guest we've had in the Players Lounge podcast without a finger? Pat Cummings was the first who lost his finger because of his sister.
I'll be honest. I mean, I think that we should start like making a new salute or something for these boys, like the rock and roll with our fingers bent down. But I mean, I love my brother as a kid. I mean, we didn't maim or mangle either of each other growing up. So it must be different for you guys.
Yeah. So Waka Yunus doesn't have that little finger as well, though. Mm. But he was responsible for that. There was no one else.
I never realized so many fingers had disappeared from the planet. There must be a bag somewhere with all old used fingers. Can you imagine?
Yeah, okay, yeah, let's not get into that. Let's instead go into the fact that your former RCB teammate AB de Villiers Parthiv once said that Parthiv Patel is the most irritating cricketer behind the stumps. So I want to take you back to a couple of years. You debut in 2002 and just, you know, a few years after that, Parthiv Patel decides, I'm going to sledge the Aussies. And oh, not just any Aussie, but Steve Waugh. Do tell us the story.
I'm not very proud of that story. Every time I go on any of the interviews, I've been asked for it. Yeah. Obviously we were playing to win that test match and test series as well. Back in 2003-04, Australia was a huge side, especially you were winning against them in Australia. That would have been a completely different page in Indian cricket history. So Steve Waugh was playing his last test match and they had to chase down 420 last day. And Steve Waugh, being non-Australian, he was blocking it out. He wasn't playing shots. And so I, you know, obviously while wicket-keeping, I told him, come on, Steve, you will not get this chance ever again to play your favorite slog sweep. Because Sydney, you know how it turns on the fourth day. Anil Kumble was bowling stump to stump. I was just trying to make him play that slog sweep of his. And he defended the ball and he turned it around. And he's like, mate, how about giving me some respect? You were in your nappies when I made my test debut. And it was that. In 85, Steve Waugh made his test debut. And 85 was my born year. So and everyone around in the team. So that was, I remember Lakshman was at Silly Point, Akash Chopra at short leg, Sachin at gully, Saurav at leg slip, Rahul Dravid at slip. And everyone was laughing at me.
Well, you know what? But you know why they were all laughing at you, don't you? Because they were intimidated by Steve Waugh. Steve Waugh did, that's exactly what Australians are like. They all chirp and say whatever they want, but you can't say anything back to them. I applaud the fact that you did that. Well done, Parthiv. I'd have been back
in 2018, when Jason Waugh, his son, was, you know, one of the part of extras in Australian team. You know, they announced the squad for only 12. So Jason Waugh was, you know, probably there as 13, 14, 15 to field. And I was part of that 2018 tour as well. When I wasn't playing the test match, I was just walking around with the drinks and I went to him and told Junior Waugh that, you know, just pass on this message to your dad that you have to show me respect because you were in your nappies when I made my test.
Full circle. I love it.
Do you believe in that? Because you see, as a viewer of the game, I think with the ways that, you know, things have adapted and broadcast and you can hear what's being said because of the stump mic, I think it's an important part of the game. I think as a viewer, I enjoy it quite a bit. But does it actually play a role for you personally, Parthiv? Did it make you a better cricketer? What did it get out of you?
I think it does. As long as you're not abusing anyone, as long as you're not getting personal about anyone's life, I think that there is no harm in doing it. In just a bit of banter here and there, it's just part of the game. You're not just like robots who would, bowl and bat. You know, there are certain things that brings a charm into the game as well. And for viewers, for us as well, there are a few characters like, you know, and they like to get into the game, maybe, you know, by picking up, not a fight, but just a bit of, you know, banter in between the focus more. Apparently there are some of them, they like to stay quiet. So I think it depends on individual, but I'm all for it as long as it's not personal, as long as it's not abusive. Because for us, we have to even if it's not heard on in stump mic, but the lip reading as well, you know, we got to remember that kids yes. watching, you know, and they could imitate us by doing that. So I know aggression and all of that, but I think, you know, that's where, as say, role models, you need to be be careful about which words you are using on screen.
I couldn't agree more with that. Chirping, if it's used to like try and break the batsman's concentration by having a laugh, or like Pardy said, come on, you won't get the chance to play your favourite Sweep song again. That's fine. The problem is, and I'm going to say this, and I don't care who this offends, some people just do shout abuse and question your parentage and shout stuff. They're the ignorant, stupid people who shouldn't be allowed to talk on the cricket field. You know who you are. You know you are.
Yeah, we all agree. It does not need to be derogatory in nature at all. It's banter. But Parthiv, you know, I'd like to get a wicketkeeper's opinion, because is it important, or how important is it really to develop that relationship with your bowlers? Because obviously you have to have a relationship on the field when you're setting up a particular batsman, you're setting the field in a certain way, but off that field as well. And is there any particular partnership with the bowler that you really cherish? You know, was there some sort of incident where things really came to plan?
Yeah, I think it is very important. As a wicketkeeper, you keep talking to your bowler and you know, just keep telling them, you know, this is a line which you're bowling, or from behind the stump it looks like this space would be better, whether you should be bowling a slightly faster or slightly slower. I mean, you can't just change the bowler's basic completely, but you can just tell them, you know, just a little bit of adjustments. And if he succeeds, if he gets success in that, that helps you to, you know, build that relationship between wicketkeeper and bowler. And one incident, or quite a few incidents, which me and Harbhajan had, I think, you know, we shared a great respect for each other, and we used to trust each other a lot on the field, off the field as well. But yeah, just, you know, I can tell you the incident where Kedar Jadhav was playing for Delhi Daredevils then, and we were playing for Mumbai Indians, and I thought the way he took his stance, I thought even before a bowl felt like he's either going to go step out or he's going to go slog sweep. So I, from behind, I just told Harbhajan that, you know, just maybe outside the off stump, if you can bowl outside the off stump. And he understood, he stepped out, and we had a stumping. So that was one incident. The other one was Suresh Raina's stumping in 2015 IPL final, where it felt like, you know, he's going to go over long on and he's going to run down straight. And same thing I told Harbhajan, that fuller and slightly wider, and we had another stumping next ball as well. So these are probably a couple of incidents which I could clearly remember that we had planned. We thought this could happen. And credit to bowler as well to, you know, be trusting me and delivering that as well. That's also another art, you know, understanding the game, but, you know, trying to deliver what you want to deliver all the time, or maybe most of the time. That's also credit as well.
Yeah, you just said about relationship with your bowler. As a spin bowler, I can tell you that a good relationship comes from a keeper basically not making mistakes and doing whatever, that helping the bowler out. So that is Matt Pryor used to do exactly the same for me. He would offer a few words of advice to the batsman. He'd try and goad them into playing shots. So just like Parthiv tried to goad Steve Waugh into playing a lap slog, I always wanted a batsman to try and drive me through extra cover. So I'd leave the field open and I'd say to Matt, I don't want to do it. I don't want to shout it from this end, but I want you to keep encouraging him, or keep talking to the captain going, mate, I really think we need an extra cover because this guy's going to drive it through there. This is too easy. He's going to hit it there. Come on, Cookie, you need a cap. And the amount of times that would work, that relationship can, honestly, it can get you over a series, 5-6 more wickets than you would have done otherwise. So it's brilliant. I mean, Partib and Harbhajan, that's definitely one of the relationships I remember. Off spinners and keepers, thick as thieves.
And there was one incident which I could tell you where I missed a stumping as well. So Michael Clarke's debut series where, you know, I felt that he was stepping out first ball of any spinner, irrespective of where the ball's been pitched. So I told Anil Bhai, he was bowling, so I told him, I feel that he's stepping out every over, first ball of the every over. And so next over, we can try and, you know, bowl outside the leg stump if we can, you know, induce stumping there. And he did step out, but he bowled a googly and spun and I missed it. But that's something that's also happened as well.
I have to ask you this, Parthiv, because there is a school of thought, and I've had a lot of shows with the great Sunil Gavaskar, and he truly believes that wicketkeeper batsmen, this breed of wicketkeeper batsmen, and we're talking about someone like yourself who at times opens the innings as well, are true all-rounders because it is double duty. You keep one entire innings and then you're looking to maybe open the next innings. So do you look at yourself as an all-rounder?
Absolutely. I think, say, if you're a wicketkeeper, wicketkeeper can bat in top six, like Rishabh Pant is doing right now. That is giving India an option of either another spin all-rounder or a fast bowling all-rounder or an extra fast bowler in a previous test match, where because they could trust Rishabh Pant's batting, they could get two all-rounders in Jadeja and Shardul together. So I think, for me, I always tell every young wicketkeeper now that I've been part of this thing, where, you know, whenever you are batting, you should be thinking that you are the pure batsman of the side and you should be contributing as much as the pure batsman of the side is doing, that is scoring 100 and winning games, not just those 30s and 40s where, you know, you could just, you know, build a partnership. And when you're wicket keeping, forget about what you've done in batting. So as an all-rounder, sometimes you can get into that mindset that, okay, I've got 100. If I drop a catch here and there, it is fine. Or if I've kept really well today, if I don't get runs, that is fine. But, you know, basically, if you give a team that option of being a pure batsman and a pure wicketkeeper, you basically are playing with 12 players. So as a youngster, I think that's something which every young wicketkeeper should be doing.
He speaks a lot of sense, this boy, didn't he, Minks?
Yeah, Swanee, I just feel that based on the trends that Parthiv is talking about as well, and perhaps it is the batting, and you scored a plethora of runs in domestic cricket, and that is what, in a sense, did earn you your test comeback. And on your comeback, you scored runs as well. So do you feel that as a batsman, you came back into prominence?
100%, without a doubt. I think, you know, that's an irony of when you're getting picked for Indian side or an international side, you're always picked for your runs. You're never picked for your wicketkeeper. That's and another thing is you're always dropped because of your wicketkeeping and not because of your lack of runs as well. So that's the fact of world cricket, not just India. So, you know, that is the reason why I put a lot of stress on, you know, being all-rounder and equal in both of your wicket-keeping and batting.
But what do you prefer? At the end of the day, if someone said, right, tomorrow, you've got to do one or the other. So if someone said to me, you've got to go and bowl or bat tomorrow, I would bat without a doubt. I loved batting. It wasn't anywhere near hard work. So don't listen to any batsman people who say that batting's hard work. It's a piece of cake compared to bowling physically. But I would bat. What would you do, bat or keep?
Oh, given a choice, I would definitely bat for sure. There is no doubt about it. But it's just, you know, everyone wants to be a batsman. But yeah, and especially now. But yeah, wicketkeeping is a difficult task. You know, physically, it is not as taxing as maybe fast bowling or any bowling for that matter. But yeah, I mean, yeah, wicketkeeping is a difficult thing too. And that is why all the Wicketkeepers Club will always be proud of ourselves.
If you got that little union, like the spinners have got a spinners union, whereas, you know, there's a little nod of appreciation. If you see another spinner in an airport or whatever, you have to talk to him. It's part of the rules. A keeper's the same, because most keepers are so annoying that they can't talk to other human beings without sort of exploding in a ball of annoyance. Is that true?
No, that's not true. We are we are the most important part of the team. So, you know, we have our union. I think me, Deep Das Gupta, Ajay Ratra, we're very close. MS Dhoni, whenever we meet, we always get into these deep discussions where, you know, I took a liberty of asking him, why did you bat at number 7 in World Cup semi-final? And he gave me a long answer, which I'm not going to tell. But yeah, we do get into all sort of things as wicketkeepers. We can get cheeky.
All Okay, let's move on to our Dare to Declare segment. Gentlemen, this is got to you by Betway, where we talk about all the trending topics, what's hot, what's you're talking about, and we'll get some quick fire predictions from you, Parthiv, as well. But of course, the hot topic, and why wouldn't it be the hot topic, is the India versus England Test Series. We've discussed this before on the Players Lounge podcast, where Swanee believes that, you know, a session of batting could decide this entire series. What about you, Parthiv? Where do you think the series would be won or lost?
I think, to be honest, India is a very strong side. If you look at man-to-man, if you look at the way Indian team has played in first test match as well, I think India definitely looks very, very strong side. And as far as England's fortunes are concerned, I think they will rely heavily on the way Joe Root bats. I think even this test match, it turned out to be like that because of that Joe Root's fantastic 100. At the other end, Don Sibley was batting at 20 of 130 balls. So for all of them, Joe Root was batting on a completely different surface than any other batsman on that wicket. So for India, I think if India has to win this series, which is very likely, and which is, India is definitely ahead in this series, but Joe Root would be a big wall which they'll have to break into.
Yeah, I think this first test was a definite like microcosm about how the whole series will go. You're absolutely right. First innings, the ball does everything in England on a lot of pitches. Second innings, it's good for batting. So the fact that Joe Root got 100 and yet England only scraped to 300 in that second innings, the Indian top six is better than the England top six without a doubt. And that is going to be the difference, I think.
So the last time around that India went to England, everyone said that this is the best chance that India have of beating England in this series. And it didn't really go that way. And now people are seeing it again with the kind of arsenal that they have and with the batting lineup as well. What do you think, Parthiv?
Well, I personally do not believe in saying that this is the best opportunity, because, you know, the next time when we go around, Indian team might be better than this as well. So we cannot just say that this is the best opportunity, but we can definitely say that there's a great opportunity for India to win series after 2007. Especially what I really like the way bowlers bowl in this test match. I thought there was significant difference between the lengths which they bowled in World Test Championship finals and here, where we saw a lot of LBWs and bowls. It showed that, you know, they were bowling well, they were bowling right lengths. They were not afraid of getting driven. I think in England, this will happen. You might just get cover driven for four, but there are chances of getting batsmen out is more, and that's exactly what Indian bowlers did. So I think that's a great sign for our bowlers.
Yeah, however, I'm going to just put a caveat on that. Mohammad Shami, if he bowls a yard fuller, will clean up in England. His seam position, his swing is magnificent, but he bowls a yard too short. And what happens in England is you look amazing. You beat the bat a lot. And everyone goes, how is this guy not getting wickets? Mohammad Shami's record in England isn't great because he always beats the bat. He always bowls well. If he bowls a yard fuller, like Siraj did in this match, and like Jasprit Bumrah does, bowls at the stump, he will clean up. You heard it here first.
I totally agree. I think lens is key, for sure, as far as India is concerned. And Mohammad Shami was brilliant in WTC final as well. I thought, you know, it was slightly surprising to see he going back to that back of the lens as well, where, you know, other bowlers actually went fuller. So, but yeah, I think, you know, I could say just a one odd test matches where, you know, he didn't bowl that well, but I'm backing him to bowl well again because he looks in great rhythm, Mohammad Shami.
Yeah. Well, that's it. He still bowled well, but he just didn't take wickets. There's a huge difference between taking wickets and bowling well, I think.
Yeah, you got to take 20 sticks to win the test match, right? And let's talk about this England team from an opposition's perspective. Parthiv, you look at this team list and you see no Jofra Archer. There's no enigmatic Ben Stokes. Does it change the aura of the opposition?
Oh, absolutely it does. I think more than Jofra Archer, yes, Jofra Archer is one of your prime fast bowler who can actually, you know, rip you apart if he gets it right with a lot of pace and length and all of that. But I think the charisma which Ben Stokes brings to the table, you know, when he's on the ground, he might not win you games on his own alone. And obviously he's an outstanding match winner, but the charisma which he brings in, like, you know, for an example, what MS Dhoni would do on the field, if he's on the field, if he's not performing, but the team rallies around him, and that's something which you can see it in Ben Stokes' aura as well. I think that's something which probably more than the performance, of course they will miss his performance, but that leadership quality which they need, England needs, that's something which will be a huge blow as far as Ben Stokes is concerned.
And of course it's Lords at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think you've got to enjoy Lords. You know, it's Lords after all. You know, you're playing a test match at Lords. I think Rishabh Pant didn't play a test match at Lords, you know, last time around. Dinesh Karthik's keeping was there. But yeah, Lords is something very special, place in anyone's heart, and then you've got to just enjoy out there. And I don't know whether Swanee would agree to, you know, just, you know, they are there in there and there about. For us, when we entered Lords, it's a completely different feeling, that Mecca of cricket and all of that. You know, some of us have actually taken a grass off sometimes to see whether, you know, what it is like to be at Lords. So just, you know, just enjoy the you know, being crowd with you as well. You know, it's a special feeling.
All right, so quick fire prediction time, Parthiv. Just say whatever comes to mind. Who's going to be the player of the series?
Player of the series, I'm putting Jasprit Bumrah as player of the series.
Okay, who is going to be your surprise package?
Surprise package, I'm backing Ajinkya Rahane to be surprise package. I think I love him. I think the way the players have been putting pressure on him, I think it deserves a lot more than the kind of, you know, press, you know, what we hear of him in press conference and stuff. You know, he's won you a series in Australia. He's got 100 at MCG. You know, he's probably, he's vice captain of the side. Maybe, you know, he just goes under the radar a bit. But he got a brilliant 100 at Lords last time around. No, last, I think 14, he's got a brilliant 100. And every time he's against the wall, he's come up with special performance. So I'm backing Ajinkya Rahane to give special performance.
And does that kind of lead me on to the next one? Who's going to score the most runs?
Most runs, I will still back Virat Kohli to get most runs.
And this is something we always do on the Players Lounge podcast for every guest that we have. Just three, you know, generic questions that we ask them. Who's the best captain that you've played under, Parthiv?
It has to be Sourav Ganguly. I think Sourav Ganguly was probably, you know, he's obviously when he's your first captain, you do have that soft corner, but the way he had that unbelievable man management skill, and he, you know, he would always rally around the guys who has not done well or who are, you know, who feel that he's under pressure. He would call you to the room and he's offer his tea, and he offers his those Mary biscuit which he carries around with everywhere in the world. So there are that. To me, I think Sourav Ganguly is probably the best captain I've played under.
According to you, who is the best wicketkeeper right now?
Best wicketkeeper in the world? Unfortunately, just a wicketkeeper that Riddhiman Sahay doesn't find a place in 11. But I think BJ Watling was very, very underrated. I know he's got retired, but I thought he was brilliant as well. Yeah, that's about. I don't see anyone. I think Riddhiman Sahay is someone who's there in the international squad, but is not playing. But BJ Watling just recently retired.
And if not cricket, not a cricketer, could you be any other sports person, man or woman? Who would you like to be?
I would like to meet Roger Federer, just for the longevity and everything. You know, I've been very
inspirational. No, this is good. This is good, because my auntie's losing her husband to Roger Federer as well. It's that backhand. Every man wants Roger Federer's hairline and backhand.
Oh, I've been caught. Parthiv, believe this, okay? Almost 10 years of marriage and a baby boy later, and I had no clue that Roger Federer was his favorite.
It was his man crush.
I in fact used to wear those RF caps and T-shirt every time Roger Federer, you know, would play the game. I was that fanatic, and yeah, I would like to meet him.
Parthiv Patel, thank you so much for joining us on the Players Lounge podcast. Great insight for you. All the best for the upcoming season of the IPL, you know, new role handling the talent, but also as a broadcaster, because you're certainly killing it there. So all the best to you, Parthiv, and thanks so much for taking out the time.
Parthiv, you've been out of this world.
Thanks, buddy. See you soon in Bombay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.